Yeah. As I got another rhyme, another rhythm for y'all to listen. I'm never quitting on my mission. I'ma roll with what I'm given. Got some ambition, this new addition, filling positions. Looking at the void in myself and feeling what's missing. Better watch the way you're going, better go in the right direction. In the moment you stressing, but you gon' be counting blessings. And I know that for certain, keep on working, open curtains. Haters swerving, cause they ain't ready for your final version. Whoa. I'm never gon' give up, fall down, I just gotta get up, yeah. Cause this is my road.
You're listening to the Tom Ficklin Show on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, your home for community radio.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Monday to you on Monday, October 18th. This show is important. Of course, all my shows are important, but this show is important. And the title is kind of Bridging Community and Schools, a Holistic Approach to Wellness in the School. My guests are, we have some experts, and I don't say experts in terms of they're going to solve the problems, but experts in terms of their diligence and their dedication and their commitment. And there are other experts that will be listening to this show. So we really hope you heard this term, like, you know, crowdcast or collecting information from everyone. We're going to ask people to really respond to this show with their ideas and their thoughts, because we're going to hear what's going on in the New Haven school system in terms of trauma and organizations and collaborations and people and individuals. But this has to be a neighborhood by neighborhood, block by block, door by door, collective one village kind of enterprise. Really pleased and honored to have Melanie Versace with me, Dirce Kemp, Ilaria Filippi, Viviana Connor, and Rosalind Garcia. And I'm going to start off with Melanie. Melanie is the Chief Strategy Officer for Clifford Beers, and I want to pose a few questions to her, but it's really just to give her a chance to kind of put everything in the context. And if you haven't known Melanie, I think you'll sense her purpose and her passion as she speaks. She can also be a little long-winded, but she's gotten my permission to be long-winded this time, because this is so key. So Melanie, kind of kick us off and tell us about really how do mental health services, how do they currently kind of exist in the schools? And it even gets the phrase that, to say that phrase, Melanie, is just so disturbing. Mental health system services in schools. School's about education. I mean, when I went to school, but at any rate, why do we need mental health services currently in the school? What does it look like? What could it look like? And what is the kind of almost the current demand? That sounds so capitalistic, but there's a need, there's a passion, there's a screaming and yelling and crying for these services. And how are they being provided? And the best way to respond to this cry, and that's what this show is about. We're trying to really be carve out some best ways, best practices, best ways that we all can kind of be involved. And even how has the need fluctuated given COVID? And obviously we think that we're light at the end of the tunnel, but let's hope that's the case. And then something called Embrace New Haven. It's just another way of warming up some old failed policies, or do we have some new quivers, some new arrows, some new strategies? So Melanie, as Chief Strategy Officer, I hope I haven't given you too much to talk about, but plunge in and give us some reflections and comments and direction.
All right. Good morning, Tom. You know I love our chats on these shows. And your question, it was very long-winded, so it did give me an opportunity to be able to speak a little bit longer today. But Clifford Beers has been really partnering with New Haven Public Schools for a very long time. We started in the mid-1990s with school-based health clinics, but really have expanded so much since then. And now we're embedded in 12 schools in New Haven with both clinicians as well as care coordinators embedded in schools. And that model where we're really trying to work together with New Haven Public Schools to figure out, as needs change, how do we support the schools differently? I think one of the things that the pandemic really, really has shown us is schools are the center of our community. And so much happens in schools. So, you know, when you talk about your experience really as sort of back in the day, schools are just for education. I think we all realize that's not the case. And that's not all that teachers do at all, or that administrators do at all. They've always worried about what we sort of call in, like, you know, maybe more of a cerebral way, social determinants of health, but around like getting kids what they need. Do they have coats? Do they have food? Are they hungry? These are all things that are already happening in schools. And that's why that care coordination model was so important to get into schools, because it wasn't just about the clinical support, which we need as well. We need mental health treatment in schools. Absolutely. And we offer those things, but also on the care coordination side, helping to get kids and families what they need without having to diagnose them with something, with just being able to help them access what it is that they need. With this is actually our sixth show with you, Tom, where we've been talking about this integrated care for kids model of care that we're really testing out in New Haven, where our target population is 0 to 21 and pregnant women up to 1 year postpartum. And we reach a lot of that population just right within schools. A lot of times schools know that families need things, but their hands may be tied as it relates to flex funding. We have flex funding that's available to us. If they find that families have something that is needed, we may be able to get them, you know, a washer or a dryer or access to something that they need that may be outside of the realm of education and school, but it helps them to be prepared to learn because their needs are being met. And that's where a lot of our partnership comes in. And New Haven Public Schools and Clifford Beers have a very strong, positive relationship that has been built upon for years and years. And we've been able to be agile, especially during the pandemic, and really getting them what they need and shifting as they were in this virtual learning platform, and still being able to connect with families and get them what they need. So I think that that is just the really beginning, just to set the foundation for, you know, our relationship as we move forward and continuing to want to build on really what already exists, but expanding it. We would love to be in every single New Haven public school. That's the goal, to be in every single New Haven public school. Right now, funding just doesn't support that, but we're continuing. And every time there's an opportunity for funding, there's times where we're applying for grants together, federal grants or state grants, and really partnering and trying to figure out what we need. Working together to advocate towards the city. You know, there's other cities that, you know, all of their work in schools are funded by their city. I know Norwalk is an example of that. They're in every single Norwalk public school, but it's something that's funded by the city. And so as we can continue to show that what we're doing is working and being able to work together, we're hoping that one day we will be in every single New Haven public school.
Indeed, indeed. That's great in terms of setting the context. Let's kind of chat with you. Viviana Connor is with us. And Viviana is the Assistant Superintendent of Instructional Leadership and School Improvement for New Haven Public Schools. Viviana, that's a mouthful. And I know people are really expecting you to kind of bring home the bacon with that. But, you know, just in terms of having the need for Assistant Superintendent of Instructional Leadership and school improvement is just so important. So talk to us about what's going on in schools right now, and, you know, what are students currently struggling with, and also how is the New Haven Public School System supporting children and families? And then if we can just even go into terms of, Melanie mentioned this, some of the community partners, but what are some essential community partners to assist all of us in meeting the needs of this generation and future generations?
Well, first of all, thank you for the introduction. I know it's a mouthful for a title, so it is. So currently, the students, you know, through the pandemic and transitioning back to school has been a struggle, mentally, emotionally, going back to structures, going back to a different environment, understanding routines. That's been a little challenging for students. I bring support to the principals as far as, you know, what they need, a sounding board, a thought partner, and any resources that they would need should something happen. And so I found that the instances where that need has risen since we've returned back fully in person, right? We've had students in our schools that haven't been inside a building for over 18 months. And, you know, when you think about, especially the little ones, you know, our first graders never had, some of them never had the experience of being in a building all year if they have chosen the virtual way, right? And so helping these students transition, understanding, being around other kids in a larger group has mm-hmm. been challenging for some to adjust. Coupled that with all of their, in some cases, prior mental health or other crises that they may be experiencing, it brings us a whole set of different challenges that principals now are just, it's a whole new playing field. It's just putting instruction and academics, that which is what we're in the business for, sometimes not necessarily in the forefront. Coupling with Clifford Beers and the services they provide, especially in this trying time, the feedback I've gotten from principals has been very positive. In the 12, 13 schools, I believe it's 12 schools that they're in, has been a sounding board because of the need. It's so vast. And I'm going to turn it over to Principal Garcia. She is in the grounds and can speak a little bit more about this.
Great.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So to couple with what Viviana was saying, Clifford Beers in our schools it really has made a difference. Not only for our students and our families, but also for the faculty. They do support the faculty in ways of helping them to recognize and understand the trauma that students may have experienced. They also lend support to those teachers who themselves through this pandemic and even before the pandemic who experience these traumas themselves, because we as teachers, we carry the load. So when we have students that do come into school and they have experienced trauma, and we know that their academic performance is being stymied because of these the trauma or their behaviors coming through because of the trauma, we as educators, we struggle there. And we know that Clifford Beers has supported teachers in that way. And they are very supportive of the students and the families. So having them in schools has always been an outlet for students to know that they do have an advocate, that if they are seen, or if they're being seen by Clifford Beers, Clifford Beers is also seeing their teacher. To share with them information on students so that the student can be successful in the classroom, even though they are coming with this baggage. And teachers and Clifford Beers are supporting students in unpacking that baggage and engaging the families as well as a way of support for the students as well.
Excellent, excellent. And Teresa, just before I come to you, I want to go to Larry Filippi, Director of Trauma Informed Schools for Clifford Beers, because with these titles of Chief Strategy Officer and Teresa's title of Vice President of Community Support Services, Larry, we're going to hear from next for Director of Trauma Informed Services, and Vivian, Assistant Superintendent for Instructional Leadership. The point I'm trying to make is there's a matrix. There's a structure here of how we can kind of quickly respond to issues as they arise, but more importantly, to solve them. But Alaria, talk to me a little bit about this coalition or partnership kind of thing from the New Haven Trauma Coalition. New Haven Peace Coalition, I like to call it, or New Haven... let's all have fun, but let's call it what it is, the New Haven Trauma Coalition. And but how's it evolved, and what's important of it, and what services do they provide? Because I want people to get a sense that there's a daily tactical impetus kind of kicking in here. This is not just flying by the seat of our pants.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So as everybody's sort of explaining, sort of Clifford Beers has had his concept of wellness in the schools that stemmed from our work in Sandy Hook, right? That's where we understood that when there are stressors in the school and when their kiddos cannot achieve their full potential, or their academic potential, it's because there are other underlying issues and stressors happening in their lives, right? Outside of the school building. And so after our work in Sandy Hook, sort of there was this understanding that sort of this sort of coming to terms with the fact that that was a major tragedy, right?
Yes, but yes.
Our kids in New Haven experience traumas and stressors and toxic stress on a daily basis, right? So it's not one major event, like small stressors that are impacting their capacity to learn and act in a way that allows them to be participants in the school. And so we were tasked by the City of New Haven and DCF to create this model that had services in the schools that were tiered to address behavioral issues for the kiddos, right? Mm-hmm. Support the teachers with the understanding that when a kiddo is impacted by not just trauma, but just really like toxic stress, poverty, homelessness, right? These are some of the issues that our kiddos experience on a daily basis. They come to school exhausted. They don't have the capacity to sit there and learn math and learn like reading because they're worried about these other major things in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so by giving the teachers that information and helping them figure out ways to react to the students differently when they're, you know, not paying attention, sort of it helps the student act a different way. It decreases acting, right? But then what we sort of realize is that, yes, we can put that those two sort of activities in the school, but the kiddos will go home at the end of the day and the parents need support, right? Mm. So we then added the care coordination support to go in the home and sort of speak to the families and figure out, hey, tell us what's going on, family. What do you need? Because we know that families are the experts on what's going on in their lives, and they know what they need, right? And so having the care coordination outside of the school building and the clinical interventions, the screening for trauma and mental health, like the groups that are evidence-based, that address PTSD symptoms in the kiddos, in addition to having the coaching and support for the teachers and the care coordination, that sort of gives the tiered approach we go for, right? And then we also realized that we could add some universal interventions, some activities that all kids, right? Not just the ones acting out, kids could access to.
Give us a few examples.
Sure, like mindfulness. We have, you know, currently we're partnering with a basketball camp where the kiddos learn leadership skills. And I think that helps all the kiddos become more confident, right? And have fun, right? Having fun is part of being a kiddo. So that's incredibly helpful. But like the mindfulness falls within our understanding of trauma responsive work, right? Sort of the capacity of the kiddos to sort of stay within themselves, take a breath and not react to a trigger. So it's really like a comprehensive approach for kiddos and students in the school.
Excellent. Principal Garcia, let me pull you in here. And I'm not going to ask you you're located really adjacent to the new Q House, correct?
No, that would be Wexler. Oh,
that's Wexler, okay.
Wexler, right.
So you're located where in New Haven, just so people can kind of...
Shelton Avenue, the corner of Shelton and Bassett.
Good. And the basketball court there and the
right,
et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So I saw you shaking your head and thoughts going through your mind as everyone has been speaking just about the role of the principal. And we were talking before we went on air that literally as we speak right now, someone at Lincoln Bassett might be going through demonstrating some stress, violent stress or just emotional stress. Or mm-hmm. So I don't want to kind of put words in your mouth, but how has this partnership evolved and what does it mean to you and how are families kind of benefiting?
So the partnership is invaluable. I have a history with Clifford Beards in the partnership when I was principal at Bishop Wood School for 5 years. So Clifford Beards and I have been on a journey together. Okay. And I know that from many of the agencies that have been brought in to work with students, it's definitely changed. I think I'm thinking of a few of the students they had at Bishop Woods who had a very difficult time communicating with the adults and their classmates due to lots of anger. And they were frequent flyers to my office and so forth. But when they got involved with Clifford Beards, the family and the student and involved in some of the agencies that were brought in. One that I'm thinking of primarily was Soul Friends, where the dogs came in and they kind of pet the dogs, walked the dogs, played with the dogs. It really gave them a time of calming and they looked forward to it. They thought of it as, you know, a special time just for them. And it really changed them. And so I'm very excited about this partnership here at Lincoln Bassett with Clifford Beards because I know that they're invested. They're invested in the success of our students, the success of families. And with the care coordination, the workers of the care coordination, they meet with us regularly and talk about what are the needs of families. I mean, there was even an instance where we found that students, a family of students were sleeping on the floor. And we know that's not a comfortable rest. You're not going to come into school ready to learn if you've slept on the floor. And they saw to it that they got beds. And something as simple as that, if the need is communicated from the family or the child, it can be addressed. And it's one of those things, but we don't know what we don't know. And if we have the family engagement in this process with the children, shifts happen, children change, children respond. And of course, at the end of the day, our purpose here in the schools is to make sure that students are performing well academically. But before we can even get to that performance, we do need to address anything that's impeding that. And Clifford Beards is an agency that supports getting to those layers.
And Teresa, just before I come to you as Vice President of Community Support Services and Engagement, I just want to ask you, Principal Garcia, but moving forward, you guys are doing a great job, but what might we still need? What are some of the challenges still? Just to share a little bit about, I really want this discussion to be sober and direct and as transparent as we can be.
One of the things that I have found that works best with students is to have mentors. Having another person that sees you, having a person that is an adult, not a peer, but says, you are great. You can achieve. You can do this. How can I help? What do you need? I know that really empowers students, and that's really what we want. We want the students to have a voice. And even here in school, we have what is called advisory, where the adults do have small groups of students to develop these personal relationships with. And even my group alone, my small group that I have of sixth graders, who I may have had some challenging relationships because of my role in the school and oftentimes mm-hmm. having to be the one to discipline, to now see me as someone, as a person that it doesn't have the, you know, the horn shooting out of the head sometimes, they respond well. So if there could be something that would be the most helpful, it's to have positive adult role models in their lives outside of their parents, that someone who is a member of the community that says, you know, I take an interest in you. I see the greatness in you. You can achieve what it is that you want to achieve. It changes student behavior. It changes the overall mental health of a child, and therefore it does attack the academic performance.
Excellent. And Teresa, we're talking about bridging community and schools, a holistic approach to wellness in the schools. And so what are, from your standpoint, what are families experiencing?
Crisis. I think our community and our families, a lot of our community and families are in crisis right now. And I don't want to come from a punitive approach to the work that we're doing, but more or less kind of, like you said, that holistic and looking at families and where their strengths lie. The truth be told is community violence, unemployment, underemployment, food insecurity, housing insecurities, you name it, families are experiencing it. And so working with the whole family is really our focus and our objective at Clifford Beers, and thinking about it in a way where we tap into the strengths of each individual family, and they have them. Tom, you and I both know, and many of us on this call, historically, we just don't, especially communities of color, don't ask for help specifically around mental health and mental wellness. And so I think that COVID-19 has really shifted that narrative in a lot of ways, especially as a result of the isolation and being at home. And then Black Lives Matter movement happened, right? And we watched this horrific videos, many videos that we've seen, but there became this turning point in our history where we couldn't be silent. And for a lot of people of color, the feeling of we can't breathe didn't just come from what happened, but really we just can't stay silent anymore from what we're experiencing due to poverty, due to homelessness, due to lack of housing or lack of employment. Not being able to feed your children will make anyone feel like I'm going crazy. What am I going to do? We don't use words like trauma. It's more like drama. It's more like stress. I'm overwhelmed. I'm frustrated. And so really beginning to tap into what is our community saying and what is happening? And we just saw this influx of just this outreach and this need of, I need mental health services. I need mental health support. I need to talk to someone. You know, as a parent, and I was a single parent for many, many years, not being able to feed your family will affect how you show up for your children, how you show up for your family. And so really thinking about how do we meet the families where they're at? And again, not coming from this deficit place, there's this fear of calling DCF or, you know, they're going to get in trouble. But coming from a place of, no, we just want to help you. And so the secret of not having beds and sleeping on the floor, beginning to gain that trust with the community to say, that's not a DCF problem. We need to get you some beds. And coming together as a community to get this family the beds and the things that they need. If we can alleviate some of the stressors of the caregivers involved, the children will show up differently. They will have less anxiety and not come to school kind of holding it all in at home and then letting loose while they're in school. And so there has to be a gap that's bridged and to really begin to change the stigma and the narrative around mental health, mental wellness, and being able to talk to somebody and get the support services in place that you need. We have to normalize it. And I really think over the last year, we're beginning to really, I see the shift happening at the community level.
What is that process? Does a student, does a teacher make a recommendation? help us through if a parent or a caregiver is listening. Help us, walk us through the process. If there's a perceived student need, how does that kind of become acknowledged by the system?
So I can tell you from the care coordination approach, what happens is we have care coordinators who are from the community. They look like our community. They know a lot of our community. So they meet with the family. We take the whole family approach. And so we look at everyone who's involved in this child's life. It could be the best friend. It could be the uncle, the next door neighbor. And we have what we call family team meetings. So we bring everyone to the table. So if Ms. Garcia is mentoring a student, then we're going to bring her into the table with the uncle and the aunt. And we're going to bring everyone to the table to really figure out, what do you need? Not what we think you need, but what do you need? And how do we start creating the structures in place to help you? And so it's this philosophy of we're going to kind of teach you how to fish. And we're going to teach you how to navigate the system. We're going to bring everyone together. Families are overwhelmed. And so to make 15 different phone calls while they're at work, some people don't have that opportunity to be able to do that. And that's where the care coordinator comes in. That's where we're going to make the calls. We're going to organize what's happening. We're going to connect them to the right services. In school, first, we're going to see what's available to them in school, connecting with the teachers. And again, those natural supports that are already there. But then also, what can we do to help the family outside of school? And after school, you know? And so there's times where families need backpacks of food on the weekends and making sure that they go home with food and they have the access. Because as we know, crisis is not Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. or 3 p.m., but it can happen on the weekends and making sure that those families have the connection to who they need to call if there is a crisis. And so we really look at what we call the wraparound model. And that's everything we do is based on that model. And again, that wraparound approach for the whole family.
That was really helpful and insightful. Let me throw it out, kind of expanding upon what you just mentioned to everyone. What needs from an imagination, from a vision standpoint, from a strategic standpoint, Melanie, what also needs to happen now and in the future? What has to happen now and in the future for us not to... For us to, quite frankly, abolish the need for mental health services, but that's maybe too broad-based. But what has to happen now and or in the future to kind of minimize the at-risk situation that is so profound? Let me start with you. Okay, go ahead, Melanie.
I was just going to say we also just need to keep doing what we're doing in our communication with New Haven Public Schools. As we shift and change, Viviana's back at New Haven Public Schools now, and we had a meeting in the beginning of the year with the principals that we're currently working in. Ilaria meets with principals every single year before the school year starts to assess where the needs are. And those are some of the things that we need to continue to do is the communication is really going to be key. To see where the needs are, because the resources are limited. So we're going to have to triage things and shift things to make sure we can cover the areas that have the highest needs, also while simultaneously advocating based on the needs for more resources so we can be wherever we need to be whenever we're needed.
Viviana? Viviana, I'd like to hear your perspective on what was just mentioned. How do we build upon, you know, and not throw out the baby with the bathwater, but how do we build upon now and in the future? Because as Teresa has mentioned, this is I'm trying to talk slowly and soberly and not stressful, but the fires are burning.
Right. So how do we build on that? Well, I really want to circle back to what Principal Garcia did say about the mentors. Expanding something like that would be key. However, creating a system, a holistic system, in where all of the care coordination, the partnerships, and the schools are on the same page, and expanding that to all the schools. Funding prevents that. It right now it may not be realistic. We do have 39 schools. However, I think that would be the vision, because every school has these challenges. right? And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Moving forward, we are going to see the need arise. You know, the level of unemployment is increasing. That's affecting our kids. The lack of resources at home and how some of our parents may not know how to advocate for themselves, and they look at care coordination to help them or go to the school and vice versa. So that partnership is key, because if the care coordinator doesn't realize this is a need, the school will, right? Somebody will, an adult will. Having those mentors is a key, because the mentor will know first. In a previous district, we had a mentor program at the high school, and it was mostly geared for attendance, but it evolved into care coordination, because so many things developed on a conversation about, why aren't you coming to school? That developed into, well, I had to take care of my two younger siblings. My parents are not working. I had to go to work. We didn't have food. We didn't have laundry to take. It snowballed into something completely different. That's, I think, the biggest need. And you're right. We are in a crisis. This is the time to kind of expand on what we have. If I answered your question,
that's so helpful. Ileana, talk to me, Ilaria rather, talk to me, because I mean, even as your title, Director of Trauma Informed Schools, that's a heavy lift, as I mentioned before. But what goes through your mind now, day in, day out, from the challenges and how we can move the ball forward?
Well, I think everybody's sort of talking about the need for more resources, right? If you think about equity in education, think about how, you know, you go schools, each school might have, you know, pockets of kids needing different things, right? And so the goal would be to have the resources, have more mental health and more care coordination available, right? And more sort of really like a community of other providers that schools and families can access whenever they need them, right? Because the thing that we're all struggling with is sort of like, it's an education system that was built around certain type of family, right? And ends up falling short of meeting the needs of other families because it doesn't have enough resources, right? Because if you think about a school, if you think about the needs that we're highlighting, you would think that then the schools should be staffed with all care coordination, right? They should have multiple care coordination. They should have multiple mental health services, right? Like social workers. And they should have people who work to mental health in the school and in the home, right? Which we try to do, but the need is so large, right, that we can't meet it, right? But if you think about sort of structurally, you want the federal government to start saying, okay, school now needs to be built with, you know, each 100 students, you need to have 3 care coordinators, 3 clinicians, right? So that they can support families and truly meet the need, right? That equity in education, so that everybody has the opportunity to excel. Right.
Tremendous. We have about 12 or 13 minutes. Melanie, let's go to you, but then kind of brainstorm, because this word Inc. New Haven and Embrace New Haven and all these INCK and all these alphabet words. But what's cooking with this Embrace New Haven? Is this just another warmed over soup, or is this something really that we hope to be innovative and solution bearing, as well as creative and also sustaining? Talk to us about Embrace New Haven.
So Embrace New Haven, I know we've talked about it before, but we may have some new audience members. The target is 0 to 21 and pregnant women up to 1 year postpartum living in New Haven that are Medicaid or CHIP eligible. So there are families that, just based on income, are some of the higher need families that we have. And the task really is to help families access what they need. As we spoke about before, families are the experts in what they need, but sometimes they don't know how to get it. So how do we make sure that people need help, that people can connect and connect people with resources? So like it's a neighbor that needs some support, or it's like somebody that says, hey, I'm having this issue. Do you know anyone that can help me with that? Is that we have all of those pieces available, and some of the sustainability needs to be among different providers and different organizations and different entities like New Haven Public Schools and the City of New Haven and other nonprofits and families and parents and community neighborhood groups, district management groups, anything. Any of those, we have our community health organizers as part of this group, and they are assigned by neighborhood. So we have 7 right now. We will have 9 by January, and that's an increase of 1 for us, which is good because we're going to be going live with this soon. And it was a 7-year award altogether. Year 2 is almost over. It ends in December. And we've really been working with our partners at the Department of Social Services to really do the back end work and working with other nonprofits. We have a partnership council where lots of people from the New Haven community, as well as the state, are sitting on that group and listening in. And it's really this all hands on deck approach. And the sustainability piece is going to be continuing those partnerships and relationships, but also the sustainability will be financial, because for the first time, we're going to be setting up a system so providers to start off with just in New Haven will be able to bill Medicaid for care coordination. How it's currently funded is solely by grants. So whether it's a state grant or private philanthropy, that's how we're currently funding care coordination. So for the first time, just like clinical services, non-clinical care coordination services, we will also be able to get Medicaid reimbursement. And we also hope to be working with Anthem to potentially be able to do that for private insurance as well. So that will speak, the sustainability piece is relationship-based, as well as financial based and partnership based. That's how the sustainability piece, but having to be able to build on relationships and work that have been going on in the schools for years is vital to this project, because as I started off, schools are the center of our communities. And we really learned that when schools shut down, our communities were shutting down. People were having, mothers were leaving the workforce at triple the rate of men. So there is a lot that really makes schools the staple of our communities, which is why we feel it's so, so important to enhance our relationship with New Haven Public Schools so we can get to everyone.
Well, really, shout out to Superintendent Tracy and everyone for kind of being involved. Melanie mentioned the, not the length of service, but the time frame for Embrace New Haven. Is it a one-shot deal? Is it 1 year, 2 years? What's the...
So we have 5 years for implementation. And the beginning of that 5 year starts in January. And we're going to be... we're working on some specific criteria for the model of care that will help us to, for lack of a better term, like really tier families based on need. So the highest need families will be tier 3. They can get the largest amount of support, which will be in home, in person, in community. You know, there's care coordination that happens on the medical side of the world. That's very different from the behavioral health side. On the medical side, it's, you know, are you getting your checkups? Are you getting the required tests? There's lots of sort of check boxes, that are occurring. On the behavioral health side, it's a very different concept, of wraparound care, which is the model of care that we use based on Wraparound Milwaukee. But we also had a previous grant that was called Wraparound New Haven. And it is a particular model of care that has very specified trainings and steps and ways in which we work with families And that's what we are going to be doing here. And there will be a very specific way that providers will be expected to work with families if they're going to be a part of this INC system of care and potentially be able to receive the Medicaid reimbursement.
Great. Let's take 2 or 3 minutes per person and just kind of share, if you would, what you've heard, what relates to your job description, what you hope for the future. You may want to tell us what you're having for lunch today, but just integrate what we're trying to convey, and that everyone on this show, I mean, you guys might die tomorrow. I don't wish that on you, but you're here for the long haul. You're here to plant the seeds for generations to really thrive after we've left the planet is my point. And I kind of respect that. So let's kind of talk about that for take 2 or 3 minutes of what's on your heart, mind, and soul about the New Haven school system, about our city, about our state. Just want to give you kind of an open-ended opportunity. And Principal Garcia, let me start with you, because I know a few of the principals in town, and I'm always so in admiration of what you guys have and ladies have to do. So I just want to give you a chance for your closing comments.
Well, my hope is that all of the students find a way to be successful. What that success looks like can be determined by the individual. But I do know that having good, solid mental health is the way or the first step towards that success. And it is also my hope that this, with my interaction with Clifford Beers over the last 8 years, and watching those success stories unfold and seeing families thrive, that while they are in a limited number of schools now, I think all schools need Clifford Beers in the school to support our students, our future. I mean, these are the kids that are going to be running our city. And if they learn at a very early age, which most of us now, in my position now, did not learn these things at a very early age. I was fortunate enough too, because I had many of my family members were in the medical profession. So my mother, in fact, being a psychiatric nurse, we were very healthy in that way. And I know the value of it. And it is my hope that students do get an opportunity to interface with a mental health professional to continue good mental health or support getting good mental health.
Absolutely. Viviana, thoughts and comments as we kind of conclude?
So my final comments is I would, my vision or my hope would be that I provide principals with the resources and the support to facilitate the platform to allow students to be successful in school. I also would like, and that would include breaking any barriers that would hinder a partnership with any wraparound services, in this case would be Clifford Beers. If a principal reaches out to me and says, you know, I'm having a hard time with X, Y, and Z, and that's why this is not working, I would hope, my vision is to break down whatever that may be in order to facilitate such a crucial partnership with Clifford Beers or any other type of wraparound services, in order to provide principals with all the resources they need in order to allow them to be successful in serving the kids.
Great. Larian, please share.
I want to echo what's been said, but I hope for the future is that we become a community where if somebody is struggling, everybody pitches to help, because it's not a character flaw. It's not an individual issue, right? We're all impacted. And so the future, the success of the kiddos comes from all of us working together to make room for that, to allow for that.
Give me a little more, A little more. Come on. I know it's there.
Well, I mean, that's the gist of it. Sort of like where, you know, we are an agency that has multiple services, right? And sometimes it, you know, I want the collaboration to be so that we're all in it, so that there is no stigma about it. You need help. Hey, it's like, I'm your neighbor. You need sugar? I got sugar. Here, take the sugar, right? Mm. To go back to that very basic type of relations. It doesn't matter where you are from, who you are, right? If you're here, you're in our community and you've got to pitch in and you have to do it to the best of your ability.
Excellent, excellent. See, that wasn't so hard, was it? Teresa?
My hope is that we really, you know, it's like for the government to kind of put up, right? And put up or, you know, step away and let people really do the work of building equity into our community, into our school system, into the way we fund our communities and our schools. To look at those who have less, give them more resources, give them more services, give them more funding, give them more opportunity, give them more, you know, access to be able to be successful, as Principal Garcia had mentioned. My hope is that in my community especially, and this is something that is very near and dear to my heart on a personal level as a mom of two boys, is that we make sure that we really change the narrative around mental illness, changing the narrative and beginning to, I don't care if it's new words that we have to use, that everybody needs somebody to talk to lean on, to depend on, to ask for help from, and us as a community coming together to be able to provide that for the community. So I would say definitely equity and changing the narrative around mental illness or mental health or whatever we want to call it, where people just reach out for help and get connected to the services.
Excellent. And Melanie, I'll have you close us out. Harry will play the music, but we'll talk until he plays the music. So we will maximize every moment. But we have about 2 minutes, I think, to take.
Great. I do echo everything that everyone has already said, but it really is just this whatever it takes. Everybody rolling up their sleeves when something comes before us, who do we need at the table? That's really what the work in the schools is, and also what the work of Inc. is. Let's figure it out together, because it's our community that we're trying to make better, and trying to make sure that people have everything that they need. And that is that equity versus equality. Some people are going to need more than others. And so let's get everybody to the table and have true partnership and not worry about, you know, who's in charge of this and who's in charge of that. It's really just let's get everybody what they need and let's sit at the table. And I think we have seen that a little bit with the pandemic, is that you did see this glimmer of like, we can do this, because people were coming together to get people what they needed. It may have taken a pandemic for us really to see that, but we're capable of doing that. We're capable of just figuring it out and not saying why it can't happen, but figuring out how it can.
I really wanted, and
that's what it's about.
Really want to thank all of you. And Melanie, I guess if someone's listening and wants to find out more about Embrace New Haven, or give $1 million or $5 million to the cause, what's the best way for them to?
They can find out. We actually have an integrated care for kids website that's right linked into our Clifford Beers website at www.cliffordbeers.org. And they can click right on the integrated care for kids site. There are donate buttons there. And if people want to donate specifically for something, they can do that. There's a note section that they can specifically ask for
money. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah.
as I got another rhyme, another rhythm for y'all to listen. I'm never quitting on my mission. I'ma roll with what I'm giving. Got some ambition, this new addition, filling positions. Looking at the void in myself and feeling what's missing. Better watch the way you're going. Better go in the right direction. In the moment you stressing, but you gon' be counting blessings. And I know that for certain. Keep on working, open curtains. Haters swerving, cause they ain't ready for your final version. Whoa. I'm never gonna give up, give up.
This is Harry Drew, and you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM.